Shake Them Ropes, episode 160. Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins coming up in just a moment. We have a lot to get to today, including Wednesday night's NXT and the debut of the Cruiserweight Classic. This episode is sponsored by MacWeldon.com. MacWeldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Visit MacWeldon.com and save 20% off your order with promo code VOW. Jeff Hawkins, Rob McCarron, STR 160 coming up now.
Rob McCarron.
I actually think if I had to pick one person right now who's getting the match with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, it ain't Randy Orton, it's Rusev.
Jeff Hawkins.
After having shoulder surgery, they're not announcing Randy Orton on SmackDown.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Wrong.
Wrong. I was born with the wrong sign, in the wrong house, with the wrong ascendancy. I took the wrong road that led to...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shake Them Ropes, episode 160. We keep going all the way to 200. We're only 40 episodes away from 200. We're catching up to UFC. Jeff, you were at UFC 200 this weekend. How was Vegas?
My car got broken into and my battery died.
So a regular trip to Vegas then, right?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. What happens at 200? Do I get paid?
Maybe.
Oh, great.
Maybe. If you want Jeff to get paid, everybody, go donate to the show. Donate to me, and I'll certainly get some to Jeff Hawkins. No problem.
Not guaranteed.
I set up this PayPal donation so long ago, and we pushed it on like two episodes.
Yeah.
And, I tell you what, I tell you, it's still there. It's still there. PayPal.me/Rob McCarron. Cause I didn't want to do like Patreon, cause Patreon takes money away. And I always thought about maybe doing something like that, just because here we are 2 years in, we're 2.5 years in really from when we first started. 2.5 years in from when we first started doing this show. Seems like just yesterday, Jeff.
To you.
What?
The Rob McCarron Save the Hats Fund? Is that what that
is? Are you tired of me already?
Oh, no. I like you, Rob.
Aw, thanks, Jeff. I like you, too. Yeah. Did you actually go to UFC 200, though? Did you go to the actual show?
I did not. I went to the other two shows, though. I went to the Ultimate Fighter and the Fight Night on Thursday, and then I watched 200 on TV.
Yeah, that's probably the right move. I mean, tickets were probably super high for that one with Brock Lesnar on the show, right?
Well, yeah, and then I wasn't going to overspend when I was already down 500.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No reason to. Absolutely no reason to. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a fun weekend despite the troubles that you were enduring there. But yes, if you want to help Jeff recover, donate to the show. PayPal.me/Rob McCarron saves fees from going to Patreon and those other sites. I tell you what, this Jeff, a special deal from me to you, because I know you got a new mic for this show. You got a cool little setup, especially for the video content. You got this great setup. You've been, you know, obviously pulling your weight over the last 2 years. That was not a bad comment. I was trying
backhanded
to,
compliments are still compliments.
I tell you, I was trying to say something else, but I couldn't. So I just went with it. If we get, this is a very, I think maybe this is a low target, and obviously it's a impromptu target because I wasn't going to do this. I'll put a link in the description. If we get $20 in donations, we have thousands and thousands of people who listen to this show. We see the download numbers. We have a larger audience now than we ever have, which is good. You try to grow. You don't want to go up and then down. But we have a really good audience and we've been seeing engagement. We got people tweeting at us. We got people DMing at it. We got a lot of people in the chat room. I did a quick little live video today before my power went out and we had people in the live chat. Just a quick little one. Cause I was a little bored, as you noted on Twitter today. I was a little bored. So I decided, you know, I got Joe Lanza up my ass about not doing more videos. So I go on and I do the little quick YouTube thing. And I'm thinking, okay, 3 o'clock Eastern on a Wednesday with 40 minutes, literally 40 minutes of notice. I'm expecting to get like one or two calls and not a lot of people watching this thing. I had to go for an hour because we kept having people call in.
That's positive.
I was ecstatic. We had calls from Chile. We had calls from Belgium. We had a lot of different calls today on the YouTube channel, which you can find at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube. So that was really cool. But I will tell you what, Jeff, if we get $20 in donations, and I will put a link in the description, if any of you out there just wants to say thanks for the last 2 years, guys, that'd be cool. If we get $20 in donations, if you guys out there find it in your heart to throw us a dollar or two, or just 25 cents, that's fine. PayPal.me/RobMcCarron, RobMcCarron. If we get $20 in donations, I'm giving it all to Jeff.
Oh.
So if you guys are Jeff fans, I'm giving it all to him to pay him back for the microphone that he got, to pay him back for the video setup that he got, to try and help this show do better. So it's all up to the people. If we get $19.50, I'm keeping it all.
If we get $20.01, you're keeping it all.
No. I know. If we hit at least 20, So it's up to the people. If no one wants to donate, that's fine. No one has to. I'm not trying to be out here saying everyone, you know, we're not going to do this show if you guys don't give us donations. That's not what I'm doing. But if you guys want to say we appreciate you in a little way, that's certainly one way to do it. Another free way to appreciate us is go on our iTunes channel and send us a rating and review. Write something nice about the show. Go and rate us anywhere from 0 to 5 stars. It'd be cool if you guys give us 5. The link is bit.ly. That's bit.ly/STRiTunes. You can go, even if you don't subscribe via iTunes, go to the iTunes channel. And you can leave us a rating and review. That's a nice free way to show your appreciation as well. We greatly appreciate all the help that everyone's done from sharing our show, from tweeting at us, from just, you know, telling a friend about, hey, I listened to the Shake Them Ropes podcast. It's all been very helpful. We have more listeners now than we ever have. So I want to thank everyone out there for helping us get there, Jeff. It's pretty cool to see the different people. Just, you know, every week we have a new person tweeting at us. It's pretty nice.
I'm absolutely amazed people have put up with me for this long.
Put up with both of us. Jeez. and there's some people out there that think I'm the heel somehow.
Well,
I don't get
that's
it.
That's just fact.
I don't
science.
Get it. It's science,
yeah.
Really.
Mm, yeah.
Science. Provable. We're going to talk about the Cruiserweight Classic. The reason why we're releasing this show, you know, late Wednesday, early Thursday morning for those on the East Coast in the U.S., the reason why we're releasing the show now is because we watched the Cruiserweight Classic and we watched NXT from tonight. So all the cool stuff in WWE was happening, you know, on Wednesday night. So I didn't want to do a show Tuesday. And then by next week, everything is kind of getting all in with the draft. And, you know, basically, I didn't want to go without talking about the Cruiserweight Classic episode 1 and this big main event we had on NXT tonight. And of course, as I'm watching NXT, power outage, which is problematic. So I ended up having to watch the first half on my phone and then quickly, as soon as the power got back on, try to get through the rest of these television programs before we started the show tonight. So West Coast Jeffrey is up later than usual for him, and it's later than usual for me. But here we are to talk about the Cruiserweight Classic. We're going to start with the Cruiserweight Classic, actually, because that seemed to be the big hot topic on those call-ins today on the VOW show we did on YouTube. What'd you think about episode 1 of the Cruiserweight Classic?
I thought both the episode 1 and I thought the bracketology, which I watched while I was on vacation, I thought they were excellent.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I think it's possibly some of the best stuff they've been doing. I thought the Ibushi, Sean
Maluda.
What's his name again?
Yeah, Sean Maluda.
Sean Maluda match was fantastic.
Sean Maluda was impressive. Obviously, you know, you go in expecting Kota Ibushi, if you're familiar with him, to be what he was. But Sean Maluda, they put that match together and I was fearful. Like, you know, who is the Sean Maluda guy? I wasn't familiar with him. You're putting Kota Ibushi in there with a guy we don't know. How's it going to turn out? That match was absolutely worthy of being a main event on that episode.
Oh, yeah. It was a fantastic match. The only ding I have on the Cruiserweight Classic show was the seriousness was belied by the fact that they introduced these guys by morphing them out of ninja luchador type characters, which kind of took that away. But everything else about the presentation, I liked.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the presentation. I like that they, it's not even that I like it. It's different, and I didn't mind it at all. The fact that you have the handshake up front, the fact that you have the winner introduced or the winner congratulated, whatever you want to say, the referee raises the arm of the winner right next to the loser there in the center of the ring, kind of, you know, boxing and MMA style. It was a different presentation. They're going for a super sports atmosphere. They're going, obviously it's based on international. You have the name on the small video board as the wrestler's entrance music plays, and then the flag of their nationality on the huge video board. This is more about the international flavor than it is about any one of the participants.
And the lack of camp, you know, the lack of it being, you know, the entertainment part of it that you know, they sometimes,
they can't
help themselves with the instincts.
Absolutely.
I think this is a bold move, and this is what I would have liked out of one of the two programs that are getting rebooted next week, to be honest with you.
One of the two programs that are getting rebooted next week. Yeah, we're going to talk about this. We actually do have somewhat of a draft topic later in the show with the Raw and SmackDown GMs. Give our predictions and news on the GMs that are coming up, and news on next week's Shake Them Ropes, too, because we're going to be joined by a special guest next week on Shake Them Ropes. So we got that to talk about. The Cruiserweight Classic was pretty cool. We got the brackets last week. Kota Ibushi obviously winning his first round match. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa being in a first round match against each other. That's kind of unique. The tag team on NXT TV getting rid of one of those guys right off the bat. More of a general topic. We have the brackets. Any thoughts on what the final four might be? Do you have an idea? Even if you don't have a final four, what's your prediction for the final as you see the way everything is laid out?
Probably a Bushi Saber.
Yeah, you're going with a Bushi Saber. I tell you what, I just don't think Kota Ibushi is going all the way to the finals.
Okay. No, that's fine.
And I wouldn't be shocked either if he loses before the final four, too. There are other guys on that side of the bracket. He's in the same bracket as Tony Nese, the same bracket as Brian Kendrick. But even more importantly, the same bracket as Cedric Alexander. In fact, Cedric Alexander is his second round match, which is going to be taped Thursday night this week. So tomorrow, depending on when you hear this, or tonight, depending on when you hear this, Cedric Alexander and Kota Ibushi is the second round match, which is a pretty big deal. That's not a match I would have expected so early on, but I don't know if they're going to focus on Kota Ibushi all the way through. I'm just not sure if he's going to make that deep of a run. He certainly deserves to. It would make sense to if they want to, but I'm a little skeptical on Kota Ibushi going far.
The bracketology did such a great job with both Kendrick.
Yeah.
And
absolutely
with
Kendrick.
And
then
and
the other
with
one.
TJ Perkins. Oh, TJ Perkins was fantastic on that.
TJ Perkins was fantastic. He really got into his story. Brian Kendrick, too, for a guy that you know, that is not the same Brian Kendrick that has ever been on WWE TV. So right. It was so cool because you've seen Brian Kendrick on WWE TV, and here he is now a vet that you haven't seen for a while, kind of like the wrestler, right? Like Mickey Rourke, in a way, in a small way. He's coming back. He's down on his luck. He's questioning whether he even made an impact in this business at all. And if he didn't do that, what is his impact in life? Like this
guy, It's the Jake story from King of the Ring.
Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. I thought one, not on such a serious note, but one of the participants they did such a good job on was Jack Gallagher.
Yes, I agree. I agree there. Everybody they kind of focused on a little bit was great. I thought, I don't think there was a dud in the bunch. I even think the Bollywood guys.
Oh, the Bollywood boys. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I said on the live show today, the Bollywood boys were guys that I thought, okay, you can actually sign them. And those guys might do well in NXT.
I thought when they were announced, I thought, oh, they're going to be afterthoughts. And then I saw them for the first time. I went, man, you can do something with those two.
What I'm really looking forward to is now I want to see more of these guys that we don't really know anything about to see who WWE focuses on and how good they can do with some of these guys. Because there's going to be Mustafa Ali is the guy that I know because he's been around for 10 years. This guy was working IWA Mid-South when I was refereeing over there. Mustafa Ali is a guy who's grown up a ton, and I really want to see his match. He actually got a dark match on, I don't know if it's a dark match. He might be on TV on NXT, but he worked the NXT tapings tonight. So this is a guy they brought back after the first taping of the Cruiserweight Classic. So he might be of interest to WWE, and that's really cool. There's a lot of names here that I want to see how they focus on all of them, because I feel like WWE is going to give all 32 guys like a legit shot to not only impress them, but come back in the future.
I'm hoping that Maluda gets to come back in the future after tonight. I thought he was fantastic.
I was a little worried that Kota Ibushi might not feel comfortable in the ring, because you hear some things about Kota Ibushi and how, You know, he's been here in the States before, but he's usually mm-hmm. working with guys that he's quite familiar with when he comes to the States. And this wasn't necessarily the case here with WWE. And it is WWE. You never know how someone's going to react when they get to what is in the U.S. the big time. So you never know how someone's going to react, but he was quite comfortable. And speaking of comfortable, Jeff, you know how you can be comfortable?
I'm giving you your space. Go ahead.
You can be comfortable in your new Mack Weldon. All your new Mack Weldon men's basics, Jeff Hawkins. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Save 20% with code VOW at MackWeldon.com. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping, and they will make Jeff Hawkins comfortable with my segues, I tell you. Maybe one day you will be. Maybe one day. We've tried their stuff, and it feels great. Right now, you can try out Mack Weldon shirts, socks, hoodies, underwear, and more risk-free, while also saving 20% off your first order with promo code VOW. That's right. Shake Them Ropes listeners can save 20% off right now off the great-fitting, comfortable clothes at MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. MackWeldon.com. Use promo code VOW. They will make you comfortable in order to say whatever Jeff Hawkins wanted to interrupt there by saying. And now I'm going to give Jeff Hawkins the floor. I've done the Mack Weldon read. MackWeldon.com. It's great. We love them. I also want to thank them. Talk about thanking people. Thank you, Mack Weldon, for coming back and supporting the show. These guys have sponsored several weeks of our show now, so they like us. I'm really happy about that. But Jeff Hawkins, what did MackWeldon.com remind you of that you wanted to jump in there?
Well, actually, it wasn't that you were, I knew you were segueing. I just didn't know which possible sponsor it was going to be. So I didn't want to give the wrong answer. Then the wrath of Mack Weldon comes down.
That was another downside of my power going out and me panicking for the last 2 hours is I didn't even get to tell you and give you the heads up. Hey, we have Mack Weldon today. That would have helped, wouldn't have? This is
somewhere a naked Joe Lanza would be out of clothing if I had somehow ticked off Weldon.
That's true. No, he's still got his hoodie over there. Still got his hoodie riding out that heat in Texas with his Mack Weldon hoodie. Oh, yeah. So good for him. Any other thoughts on the Cruiserweight Classic before I give my final four?
You know what? I'm going to backtrack because they're going to need an English speaker probably to hype up the big fight. So I think Kota probably loses in the semis. I think you're right, but I do think Zack Sabre Jr. is probably in the finals.
Yeah, I wonder if they will push the redemption story of Brian Kendrick as more of a big deal, because I could see Brian Kendrick beating Kota Ibushi. Like, Brian Kendrick goes through, you know, his first round match, maybe he goes through Tony Nese, maybe he goes through then Kota Ibushi and reaches the final four, and that's a big story, because I could see that happening.
Gargano, I think Gargano probably takes him out.
I'm thinking the final four is going to be, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Cedric Alexander. I'm going to say Cedric Alexander goes out of the Kota Ibushi bracket. I say Johnny Gargano goes out of his bracket. And his bracket also includes TJ Perkins. So that's kind of a big deal. TJ Perkins and Johnny Gargano might be a second round match there. So you have some really big second round matches to look forward to. But my prediction, Johnny Gargano, Cedric Alexander, Zack Sabre Jr., and out of the top bracket, I'm going to go Akira Tozawa. And partially because this is a big international event, I think they're going to want to have Japan represented, and they can do that with Akira Tozawa meeting up with Zack Sabre in the semifinals. And I think Zack Sabre goes to the finals with Johnny Gargano, and my prediction to win this Cruiserweight Classic is Johnny Gargano.
Huh. Okay, well, let me take a look here. I just... Bring it up.
And one of the reasons why I'm going with Johnny Gargano too, he's going to be a WWE guy. He's been on NXT for a year. You know, I said everything on Twitter about a week ago. I reiterated it today on the live show. I'll reiterate it now. Johnny Gargano is done on the Indies on September 11th. September 11th is, I don't believe Evolve has announced it yet, but September 11th in Queens, New York is a Sunday night. Johnny Gargano's farewell to Evolve is that night. So I don't know if he's starting with WWE, but I assume because of that he then will start with WWE full time, even maybe moving down there. I think Johnny Gargano's winning this thing, and I think they're using this to propel him. I really do. I think he's going to be a big guy leading NXT if they lose Finn Balor and if they lose a couple of other names from NXT with the brand split.
Okay, Sabre's an easy Final Four. That's
I would say easy Final Four. He's probably in the easiest side of the bracket right there.
I say out of that top half there, Grand Metalik.
Yeah, he's the only reason. If he wasn't in that bracket, I tell you, I think it would be a no-brainer for Tozawa. But because the former Mascara Dorada is there, he's another guy that might go to and might end up with WWE too.
You potentially have Ibushi, Alexander, and that winner taking on then Brian Kendrick. That's so tough out of those three, picking out who those three. But I don't think it's going to be Alexander. I
love it, though. I love
it. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
I don't know who's going to win, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to go with Ibushi. I'm going to go with my gut and say that he beats Kendrick. And that Kendrick gets two wins and then loses to Ibushi. And then that bottom half, you have Perkins, you have Swan, and you have Gargano. Yep. Perkins isn't signed. Gargano,
Not yet.
And then Swan. Oh, man. I think it's probably going to be Gargano and Swan to get to the final four. And I think it's probably going to be Gargano.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting because a lot of these matches can go either way. Maybe it is going to be super predictable. Maybe Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. will be the final. You know, and that'd be cool. That'd be a dream match if you're looking at two names on both sides.
Oh, let me give my final then.
Go for it.
It'll be Gargano and Sabre.
All right. Well, you're right there with me, but you're thinking Sabre's going to win, aren't you?
I'm with you.
Do you think Sabre's going to win?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we differ. That's where we differ.
If he signs, he wins.
Because if Sabre wins this thing, he's doing it a week and a half after Bola.
Right. And I think he loses the title at Bola.
What a month of September that Zack Sabre Jr. is having.
Jushin Liger in Bola.
That's my crazy.
Goodness, I'm not going to be able to get tickets.
I wonder what Cody Rhodes and Jushin Liger is probably a first round match in that turn. Don't you think?
I think he's probably with Morrison first round.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. They haven't announced the matches though for the PWG.
No, they never announce matches. It's kind of a mystery.
You know the names, and then it's a mystery vortex basically.
Yeah,
that's cool. Cody Rhodes. If you're unfamiliar, PWG Battle of Los Angeles coming up in early September. Cody Rhodes. That's one of his first appearances. His first appearance is Evolve in the Takeover and SummerSlam weekend. Takeover and SummerSlam weekend. Cody Rhodes is working Evolve Pro Wrestling. That's the Cruiserweight Classic. Really like the presentation of the first round. I'm excited for all of these shows. They're taping the second round action, which actually will probably be second and third round. I knew I had it all listed out, but now I forget what they're going to do tomorrow night at Full Sail. They taped NXT TV. We're not going to go into spoilers other than the fact that Mustafa Ali worked and Kota Ibushi wrestled on the NXT tapings tonight too. So Kota Ibushi, that led someone to DM us at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter, someone to DM us because they heard the live show on YouTube today. And I will reiterate it now, as I've done, that Kota Ibushi, I don't think, is going to the Final Four. Someone tweeted at me today saying that I'm probably wrong on that because Kota Ibushi worked the NXT tapings tonight. And I don't think that that's correct at all. I think he worked the TV tapings tonight because they're promoting the Cruiserweight Classic. They had Mustafa Ali work the show. They had a couple other competitors sitting ringside during the taping tonight. So I just think they wanted to get a match out of Kota Ibushi. If anything, that might actually mean he's, you know, probably done this week and they just wanted to get an extra match out of him for all I know.
No, I disagree. Okay. It's marketing and it's to draw eyeballs.
Definitely the draw eyeballs.
I think he does.
Definitely the draw eyeballs.
So I think he does at least get past the second round.
Yeah. There was basically one match on NXT tonight. It was the Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura big main event match they've been hyping up for 3 weeks now. Finn Balor, this guy is probably making a move up to the main roster. I know we've been saying that for what seems like a year, but you put all the evidence now.
Hold on. In our defense, we haven't been saying
that. We haven't.
No.
I thought there's one. I can't remember what exactly it was. There was one time, I think, within the last year where I really did think he was going to come up because something seemed to fit him.
It was the Bullet Club.
Yeah, it was probably that. But this time, you put the fact that Finn Balor was not on the NXT tapings tonight. He loses to Shinsuke Nakamura. They get that match out of the way. He has no current storyline heading into TakeOver. I think he's done. And I think he's going up to the main roster. It may not be at the draft, but that's certainly the best time, you would think, for Finn Balor to go up. So you're going to lose Finn Balor here. Shinsuke Nakamura gets a big win, seemingly destined to be the championship contender at the TakeOver Back to Brooklyn show coming up in late August. You watched this match live, I believe. I watched this match on a little bit of a delay as I was getting my my power up and running again. I thought it was an excellent main event, and I'm actually glad they used the whole show basically to promote around this match.
I thought it was solid. I won't go out on a limb and go it was the greatest match in NXT history or anything superlative, but I thought it was a very, very well done, solid.
It was
hour of NXT,
and it was probably the best match they've had on NXT TV since what, Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, when they were doing their feud for Samoa Joe to get his rematch with Finn Balor. They had that one match on NXT TV.
At least,
because they don't do a lot of these big time matches on TV anymore. They usually do save everything big for TakeOver now.
Yeah, it's definitely that. Historically,
historically, but the best
just
match.
The
best match what in 3 months? Because that match happened before WrestleMania weekend, so that was in March. I mean, it's been a long time of TV. It's been 12 or 13 episodes since we had a match like this.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I liked it. I liked the Samoa Joe promo. As Samoa Joe continues to, I don't want to say he's at his peak, but he's almost close. Like, this is a better version of Samoa Joe as we've seen in a long time.
That promo he cut was fantastic.
He's great.
It was so good. It was a championship heft promo that actually Finn Balor was missing during his run.
Yeah. No, he's done very well with the microphone. He's done absolutely great. I like that they brought Rhino back to kind of get a match out of Samoa Joe, because Rhino's a big guy. They don't have a lot of big guys in NXT. So here's a guy that you can put in front of Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe will look dominating as he heads into a match with Shinsuke Nakamura.
And there's a story there.
Absolutely.
Because of the dusty tag. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, this is, it's cool that they brought Rhino back, honestly. I wasn't expecting that to happen.
But can I get into a SmackDown spoiler?
SmackDown spoiler?
Mm-hmm. They announced for Battleground that it will be Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Sasha Banks and a mystery partner.
Okay, yeah, that's a match being announced. I think they actually put that on the website too, so we're okay there. We're not going to give spoilers on matches on SmackDown. Honestly, I don't know any. I didn't read the spoilers. I think I found out about that match right on the WWE website, but that's cool. I expected Charlotte and Sasha Banks one-on-one. Even though you would think that, you know, that belongs on SummerSlam, I still expected it at Battleground. But yeah, we're going to get a tag match. Dana and Charlotte versus Sasha and a mystery partner. And the reason why you bring that up during the NXT talk is I'm assuming you think Bayley is the partner.
I think Bayley is the partner.
It would be...
It's either Bayley or a Bella, but I don't see a Bella being the partner.
It could be Nikki Bella. I don't see Brie Bella. It could also be, you know, something simple like Paige.
As a mystery partner, why would you need to hold that out?
Well,
there?
They're not. It's not necessarily a mystery partner. It's, you know, Sasha has to go find a partner. Now, I agree. I think it's Bayley. I think Bayley comes up at Battleground. You have it's after the draft. It's after the brand split. They brought all of the Divas Revolution women up while Sasha, Bayley, Becky, and Charlotte were still working NXT. So you can bring Bayley up and she can still wrestle Asuka at SummerSlam, or the TakeOver at SummerSlam weekend. You can still do that. So I'm with you. I think now what we run into here is a situation where we're both calling for Finn Balor to come up this month as well as Bayley, and we can get burned on both of them.
True, but I think you can do it in different ways. I think Finn can be brought up in the draft, and I think Bayley can be brought in Battleground, and it doesn't hurt either of them in terms of that new guy smell that you kind of you kind of got weary of it a little bit in that Raw after WrestleMania, where you had Cruz and Corbin and Enzo and Cass. That way, Balor can be the focus of the draft. And Bayley can be the focus of the surprise at Battleground.
Yes. Now that brings us to, You mentioned Bayley. This week's NXT power rankings, Jeff Hawkins. And for the first time, I've tallied all of the votes. It's obviously fan voting. I've tallied everyone's votes from Twitter, from email, from Instagram, from Pinterest. I've tallied all the votes. And for the first time ever in the 100 weeks we've been doing the NXT power rankings, Jeff, we have a four-way tie at number one. That's Jeff Hawkins.
You took my week to do power rankings, but okay, go ahead.
I took your week.
Oh yeah, we were supposed to go every other week. That was the bit.
Jeff. Sticking with bits. That's not what we do here. That's not what we do here. Tie for number one, a four-way tie. Your first number one entrant in the power ranking, Shinsuke Nakamura. Coming off his big win with Finn Balor, Nakamura coming in last week at number 15, made the big jump because, you know, obviously as a big underdog in that Finn Balor match, no one saw Nakamura winning. And Nakamura gets the win, seemingly headed into a world title match at TakeOver Brooklyn. That's Shinsuke Nakamura. What do you think about Shinsuke Nakamura being at number one this week?
Absolutely gobsmacked. He made that huge of a jump, especially over Eva Marie.
I know Eva Marie. Eva Marie was she was next on the list, but we don't do a top five. She was number five. We don't do a top five, so there's no Eva Marie on this countdown. Only four, and we had a four-way tie. Retaining his spot at number one, Hideo Itami still up there. Hideo Itami actually returns to TV tonight at the NXT TV taping, so he will be on NXT TV shortly. It looks like he did his little rehab on the house shows, and he is ready to go. We don't have spoilers about what Hideo Itami might do at TakeOver Brooklyn. If you had to guess, Jeff, what do you think Hideo Itami is ready to do at NXT TakeOver in late August?
Man, wow, that one actually did stump me.
He's coming out of nowhere. There's seemingly nothing for him unless Finn Balor somehow stays. If Finn Balor stays, gosh darn it, there's your match. But they have
If he works both?
Well,
what if he works both?
He could. It could be like that could be like a true going away match. Like, you know, Finn Balor coming back.
Or Jericho.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ugh. That seems to me more like a Jericho house show request than it is on TakeOver.
But that's another one of those matches that you know Jericho's dying for.
It could be, you know, Ty Dillinger. Could be someone of that that classification. We haven't heard anything. Now, maybe they bring it back up when he makes TV, but we have not heard anything about who beat up Hideo Itami outside of Full Sail. The whole reason for his injury on Storyline was that he was attacked outside of Full Sail before a takeover. And we have not heard anything about that in any way lately. So I don't know if that's just going to be forgotten or what. But seemingly, if they go back to that storyline, whoever was the attacker will be his opponent. And I don't know who they're going to come out and say that will be unless it's maybe Samoa Joe. But Samoa Joe already has a match. He's seemingly destined for Shinsuke Nakamura. So stay tuned on that one. Tie for number one, Bayley. Bayley coming back to NXT TV and getting big wins over Alexa Bliss and someone else who I'm forgetting. Nia Jax. That's right. How do I forget Nia Jax? I don't know. Bayley at number one. What are your thoughts?
And she won a rap battle against Peyton Royce today on Facebook.
That's right. Yeah, you saw that.
I did. I thought it was very, very adorable on both counts.
Go to WWE NXT's Facebook page because there was a Bayley rap battle and William Regal got involved and it was quite fun. Everybody.
Great.
Yes. No, it was good stuff. It was very enjoyable stuff. And finally, tied for number one in this week's NXT Power Rankings, quite possibly a surprise to most of you, Tino Sabatelli. I was stunned when I saw the fan voting. Made a really late run in the fan voting. Tino Sabatelli still not on WWE NXT TV, but it seems like it's time where the fans are starting to revolt. They want their Tino on TV. Hashtag Tino on TV. Tino Sabatelli rounding out the number one. Jeff, your thoughts?
Hashtag Rob's man crush.
Well, Baron's gone. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Who's going to be the Raw general manager, Jeff?
God, who really cares? I mean, it really, we're going to have more office politics because we have to have an owner and a GM.
We're going to have two authority figures on each show. Now, for SmackDown, I don't feel like we're going to have infighting and it's going to be like babyface guys, so it's not a big concern. But I'm skeptical where they go with Raw because you're going to have Stephanie in power. Is she going to fight with her GM? Is the GM going to be... I guess you can go Triple H as the GM, but I don't think as the COO, being also the GM technically under Stephanie, is the imagery they want to go with Triple H, because Triple H can just be in power with Stephanie as the COO. So in reality, you probably have three governing bodies on Raw. But I don't have a name. People are talking Eric Bischoff. I think Eric Bischoff shows up to Raw on Monday, but it's more of a red herring. I don't think he's going to be the guy in charge.
So you don't think it's going to be the face heel dynamic on both shows?
Oh, no, because I see a
just flip.
Oh, it's babyface dynamic on SmackDown, because SmackDown's going to be Daniel Bryan.
You're sure? Okay.
I'm 95% sure Daniel Bryan's going to be the face of SmackDown.
I could have seen them doing a deal where Shane and Triple H have to work together.
Well, what's interesting, too, someone brought it up on the Twitter feed, I think a couple of days ago, where they might do a deal, because Vince has said he's going to name a general manager for each person if they don't name one on Raw. Now, Shane has come out and said he's going to name someone on Raw. This is the type of angle that they've done in different ways on WWE TV before, and it screams something that Vince might find hilarious if he does. You have Shane name his GM, Stephanie name her GM,
yeah,
and then he switches them.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Let's shake it up a bit, you know, whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. If Daniel Bryan is going to be full-time on the road with SmackDown, then your mystery partner is going to be Brie Bella.
Well, that's what I thought too when you mentioned Bella, but I don't know if he's going to be full-time, because the fact that you have Shane and Daniel Bryan, the fact that you have two Raw GMs, one week where someone's not there, the other person's there. And when the other person's not there, the commissioner's there. You can do these things where Daniel Bryan doesn't have to be on the road very often. He only has to fly in on Tuesdays and leave on Tuesdays. He doesn't have to go to the house shows, and he doesn't have to make every single TV taping, because you will have Shane there sometimes. And fair. SmackDown's the type of show, 2 hours long, you can go without any governing body and just do a show that's made up by the wrestlers. You know, you have the opening segment on a SmackDown where a match is made for later on in the show. You can get by having one show without either Shane or the GM, who I think is going to be Daniel Bryan. So you can actually do that a couple of times if you actually have to. I just think they want the name value. I think they want to, you know, prop up SmackDown a little bit. So I think Daniel Bryan's going to be it. There was also the somewhat of a spoiler. People are reading into it a lot, where they talked about on the WWE app very briefly. They had up a headline that said the Yes Movement comes to SmackDown. So I was with Sean Ross Sapp, who's been a guest on our show. I was with him on Monday night before that error on the WWE app. And I also said that it was going to be Daniel Bryan, because it just makes sense. Daniel Bryan's coming back to WWE. He's done this talking. He's done the commentary on the Cruiserweight Classic. He seems like he's going to be more okay being around wrestling. And I don't know if he really wants to be at home all the time. You can fly out on a Tuesday, be involved in a wrestling show, and go back home. So I'm going with Daniel Bryan. But I have no idea.
Man, if Daniel Bryan's gonna be on this show, I don't want him being a figurehead. I want him on commentary, because I thought he did a great job on the Cruiserweight Classic.
He was great
with Morrow.
He was really great, and that was for his first. I know he had been practicing, and I know he was at the Performance Center a couple of times working with Michael Cole, but he was great.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good on that commentary team. I really liked it. I really did. But I have no idea who's going to be the Raw GM. Like, I can't even tell you a name. I just have no idea who it's going to be.
Yeah. Are we getting into Raw? I just have a couple things.
So, yeah, I don't have much about Raw. I mean, if you want to go ahead, and what were your key highlights from Monday Night Raw? Key highlights or lowlights? And keep in mind, Jeff was coming right back from a big weekend in Vegas where he was definitely frustrated by a lot of it and happy about a lot of it. But he was coming back to watch that 3-hour episode of Raw, which granted was better than the week before, but not necessarily the best Raw ever.
Well, most of the big talking points have been gone over, so I'm not going to get that much into it. But I found it interesting that right before the segment in which they did the Rollins Daily Show bit where he edited the tape, that USA ran the Roman Reigns commercial.
Yeah, they did.
So they're not concerned about the drug failure in terms of branding either.
Well, they're not concerned about the optics of having Randy Roman Reigns a part of a segment. Like, usually when there's a suspension like this, those guys are off TV. They're forgotten. They're not mentioned.
They're persona non grata. They don't exist in the universe.
Which, again, I did not expect them to keep mentioning Roman Reigns on TV. If we knew they were going to keep mentioning him on TV, of course I don't think he comes out of the three-way at Battleground. But when we were talking a couple of weeks ago and I was going on there how I couldn't believe that he would still be in Battleground's main event, it's because I didn't know they were going to keep talking about him. They never do this.
Yeah. It's an outlier. It's amazing that they're going to double down on this whole thing in the end when we look back at it and go, yeah, this was the plan and they were going to stick with it. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about, I disagree with our Voices of Wrestling comrades on the final deletion. Did you watch this by chance?
I've seen, so Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, the final deletion on TNA Impact. It's probably the first thing on Impact I've seen. I did watch Mike Bennett's debut, and I did watch Moose's debut this week. I'm just a big sucker for debuts, which is why when we start talking about the Royal Rumble 2000, that's a huge show in the moments of big-time debuts. I'm a big sucker for debuts. I really am. So I did watch Impact this week and last week. So I did see the final deletion of Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. Yes.
What are the two things I say I love most in professional wrestling?
Tag teams and the mid-80s? I don't know.
No, talking smack.
Yeah.
And unrepentant stupidity. This was unrepentant stupidity.
It was goofy.
And I loved every moment of it.
It was fun.
Because it was so stupid. And it was in fun. And it was interesting.
Well, what's
the
great,
reason I bring that up is because of the comparisons to the Wyatt family vignette.
Which now, are ridiculous. You can't compare those two things.
No, I agree. They are. But it's fair to do so. I don't think they did because of it. But on the other hand, look at the tone that it tried to set on this one. And I'll start with the positive. I think it was the right idea to try and do these kinds of things. But it came off as pretentious, very self-aware in terms of trying to be very self-serious about such things and be spooky. It set the entire wrong tone vis-a-vis Raw. Now, the positive would be if the New Day comes back with an edge, a more violent edge, so to speak. But I don't see WWE doing that with the cash cow that is the New Day. So I'm wondering, what purpose does this serve if they don't come back hardcore? I just thought, and it looked like they got some NYU film student and said, go crazy with every effect and lens flare.
Yeah,
and shake cam.
No,
and filters and things like that.
I wasn't a big fan of the Raw segment for one simple fact, even. You make really good points about this segment. The one part of it that I had is they come there to fight, they have a little bit of a brawl, and all six men are standing up side by side.
At the end,
there's nothing that was accomplished. This was like most episodes of Raw, where they set something out at the start of Raw, have a main event, and the main event doesn't do anything. It's an episode of Raw that does not actually accomplish anything or further something. No storyline was furthered by them doing this fight at the Wyatt compound. And now they're going to be in a 6-man tag team match, which was announced on the WWE.com website, in a regular 6-man tag at Battleground. So there's 2 6-man tags at Battleground right now. And this one probably has the least amount of heat, which is crazy because it should have more. The New Day's hot. The Wyatt family is hot. They're cold right now, which is unbelievable to me. But yes, nothing was accomplished. They're going backwards.
They went backwards. They went from the big brawl blow-off type thing to a regular tag match, which
is insane,
amazingly stupid. I think the whole point of this was to make Bray Wyatt seem spooky again because of the end with the Fireflies. He's really a cult leader. Look at that. I don't understand what purpose this served.
Sister Abigail, are they going to introduce a Sister Abigail? Because there was a screen cap going around from that segment where the New Day were welcomed to the Wyatt compound by a woman in the sheet mask. Do you think they actually might be closer to introducing a Sister Abigail?
I hope not, because that means the New Day will have to introduce someone to counteract it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you would think. If they continue with these guys past Battleground, you never know.
I don't want the guys to lose the creative edge, and I don't want these types of ideas to get buried. But this was just it failed on all, in any metric you look at it. To me,
Final Deletion was cool.
And that's all I had for Raw.
Yeah, Final Deletion was cool. Our Twitter question of the week this week. We have a Twitter question coming in from Let me find it. Well, I apologize. I don't know who sent it in, but we had a question about Austin Aries. We got into a little conversation on the Twitter feed at Shake Them Ropes, and someone is asking me, what brand do you think Austin Aries might be drafted to? In fact, it was Russ. Russ on Twitter asks, what brand do you think Austin Aries might get drafted to on Tuesday? I'll give my answer, but Jeff, I'll let you go first. Austin Aries is where after Tuesday?
He's not getting drafted at all. He's staying in NXT and he's doing a program with No Way Jose.
Yep. I am the same way. I responded to this person on Twitter saying NXT. And then the follow-up question is, do you see him ever getting called up? What was the point of signing him? And the point of signing him, I very well could respond by saying also NXT. The point of signing Austin Aries was to fill up NXT.
The same as Bobby Roode. The same as Eric Young.
Yep.
The same as most other TNA guys.
Eric Young, who I don't think we're ever going to see again in NXT. Maybe a one-time thing here, kind of a la Rhino, but...
And he doesn't need to be there, but he can always be called on if he needs to be and make the show more interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, no, I don't see him getting called up. I don't see Joe getting called up.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Joe coming up. I don't think they're going to absolutely, crush NXT and take all the talent. And I don't think they have to. Were the house shows this weekend a little weak on the B side? Yes. Yes, they were. We talked last week on the show. WWE came to Fort Wayne, came to my area on Sunday. And the main event of the show was Big Show versus Bray Wyatt. And the semi main, as far as star power, was the opening match, Enzo and Cass versus the Dudley Boys. The tour was slightly thin, if you will. So do they need some more names on the shows? Yes, but they don't need a ton. They don't need to decimate NXT. I don't think you're going to see five or six people called up. Finn Balor, maybe Bayley, maybe Tino Sabatelli to main event the Raw shows, but I don't see too many people coming up from this brand.
No, the twists and turns of the draft are going to be probably one guy from NXT, which would be Finn more than likely.
Yeah.
And then them breaking up tag teams.
Somebody. They're going to break up somebody.
And trying to freshen up the mid-card guys. And maybe some alumni. Some alumni will be shown and you'll be like, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize he was there.
Right. Yeah, you might get somebody. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I can't wait for the draft show. I'm really excited for the draft show.
I have to do a post-draft show, so.
Yeah, so Monday Raw. So this is our plan for next week on Shake Them Ropes. We still have our top 100 match to talk about on this show. So we're not done yet, guys. But next week on the show, we are also going to do a show on Wednesday because we have Raw on Monday. We have the WWE draft on Tuesday. So I want to make sure we talk about what happens on the WWE draft. Now, we talked earlier on the show about helping us out with donations. I'm going to make a promise to everybody. If we get to that same $20 goal, $20, that's all we're asking for. $20 goal in donations. You can donate paypal.me/Rob McCarron. paypal.me/Rob McCarron is the address. You go there. It's very simple. We don't have to worry about any of these fees coming out like a Patreon. If we hit that $20 goal, not only will all the money go to Jeff, but we will do two shows next week. Jeff, are you okay with that?
Sure. So long as it doesn't collide with my third show that I have to do that week.
No. No, you have too many podcasts. This is another reason why people should donate to the show, to stop Jeff from doing all these other shows and tiring him out.
Oh, no, you're doing one as well. We're the same guy.
That's my alter ego.
Okay.
That's Babyface Rob. it's a whole other guy. And it's a different territory, Jeff.
That's Pokemon Go Rob.
Oh, God, I don't play that Pokemon Go. I know there's a lot of people playing it, and I'm all the power to them. Just don't walk into the middle of a street playing that game, please. And don't drive.
Saw someone do that today.
I've seen people do it in my neighborhood. People are walking around playing this Pokemon Go. Anyway.
Downtown LA. I had to yank somebody off of a curb. Oh, geez. Okay, continue.
I believe it. There's the whole city just walking around playing this Pokemon Go game. PayPal.me/Rob McCarron. You go there, you donate 50 cents, a dollar, $20, whatever the case may be. We would appreciate it. We're going to give you 2 Shake Them Ropes next week. And we're going to give all the money to Jeff to help him out for improving his setup. And hopefully everyone is fine with the audio quality. We try to get audio quality good on this show. I obsess over it sometimes, probably too much. But we will do a second Shake Them Ropes. So the second Shake Them Ropes will be, if we get the donations and do the show, the second Shake Them Ropes is going to be whatever anyone wants us to talk about. Honestly, we're going to have plenty to talk about, really. Cruiserweight Classic, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, questions. Send us in a question. If you donate to the show, you can leave a note. If you have a shout out or a question that you want to ask, go for it. But we are definitely doing one show next week on Wednesday, talking about the WWE draft. It will also be our Battleground preview, most likely. If we're only doing the one show, we'll do Battleground plus the draft talk all in one episode. So it might be an overstuffed episode. It might be an oversized episode as well. But we are going to have a special guest.
I was going to go into that. You go ahead.
Would you like to introduce our special guest, Jeffrey?
No. I was going to tease the guest and let you introduce this person.
I want to hear the tease. I want to hear the tease. Tease me. Tickle me under the feet. Tease me now.
And we will have a special guest, a first-time guest,
yes,
to Shake Them Ropes, but also a person I have met, a person who is in the critics' sphere, so to speak, and some of you may be a fan of this person's writing.
If you are a reader of the AV Club, avclub.com, this person does the Raw reviews every week for the AV Club. So very special. LaToya Ferguson is going to join us next week on the show to talk all things WWE draft. You can follow her on Twitter at LaFergs, LaFergs. LaToya Ferguson is coming on the show next week. I'm very excited to have her.
Mm-hmm. I met her at PWG and we got to talking and she became a fan of the show and she can have the Raw reviews. I don't have to do them no more. Yay.
That's right. Jeff Hawkins running away from those weekly Raw reviews.
Woo!
At Voices of Wrestling. So that'll be the show next week. So a big show. Like we're trying to, I'm trying to get in more with having some cool guests to come on and talk pro wrestling. So we don't have to gas bag about Raw all the time so that we can get to more topics that everyone else is wanting to listen to us talk about. So trying to do that, trying to do some cool things here on the show. So help us out, go leave a rating and review on our iTunes page. Go share our show notes with other fans of wrestling that you know so they can be introduced to our show. And if you so choose, want to give us a thank you for the 2 years that we've been doing the show, go donate to Jeff Hawkins at paypal.me/Rob McCarron. I'm really hoping that it comes out to like $19.99.
Also within your comments, should you feel inclined, let us know how you prefer or when you prefer us to do this with the new brave new WWE setup.
We were getting
notes. Where's Shake Them Ropes today? I haven't gotten Shake Them Ropes. And I appreciate that. You would have.
It's really
something to be missed.
People expect our show.
At the same time, with both Raw and SmackDown going live, mm-hmm. would you prefer that we wait until after SmackDown and then do both shows and kind of do a recap of, say, the week in the main.
Not even a recap, just the biggest things about both shows and talk about, the differences between Raw and SmackDown. Are we seeing differences? Are we seeing similarities? Are they, which show do we prefer to watch based on the talent roster? That's a very good topic. I wanted to mention that today. I was about to forget. So thank you, Jeff. We have done these shows for, I think, at least a year now, regularly on Tuesdays. Sometimes we have to do it a different day. Especially on pay-per-view go-home week. Sometimes we wait until Wednesday so we can see SmackDown spoilers to know at least that if something's going to get added, we know to talk about it. But generally, we've been doing the show on Tuesday, and we got quite a few messages yesterday about, hey, where's the show this week? Is there no Shake Them Ropes this week? Because people expect our show on Tuesday, and that's great. And we try to keep to a regular schedule. Even throughout the holidays, Jeff, we have not missed a week in about 2 years of doing the show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Early on, we experimented with different days and we skipped a week here and there, but for 2 years we have not missed a week. And I take pride in that because you'll see podcasts, And no fault of theirs sometimes. Sometimes, you know, most people have regular jobs and whatever. They have to do their job. They can't spend time on the podcast. They have significant others, the family to get to.
Sometimes Rich gets married. Sometimes Joe Lanza has to do one on his own. Yeah,
whatever the case may be. So you might have guys who do their YouTube shows and they can't do a YouTube show this week. Or you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. And I'm sure people listening to us right now probably listen to at least one or two others throughout their week. And they know there's a show they listen to where they have taken a week off somewhere. And we have not taken a week off in 2 years. And some weeks we do two shows. And there was that one week where I got really bored and I did a vanity solo show. So we don't take weeks off and we try not to take a week off. We may not be on the Tuesday, but we try really hard not to take a week off. And we are not going to take a week off next week. We're going to do possibly two shows depending on how things turn out. But we're doing at least the big one show. But going forward, now the fact that SmackDown is on Tuesdays live, the fact that we have Raw, we have, you know, NXT on a Wednesday night. Do we continue to do the shows on Tuesday and basically skip SmackDown? Because by the time SmackDown is relevant, we have just recorded and it would already be 7 days old if we wait until the next week after to talk about the previous week's SmackDown. Or do we move the show to Wednesdays so that we can talk about Raw, SmackDown, all the big topics of the week? Right now, I think we're leaning towards Wednesday. Are we not?
Yes.
I think we're leaning towards Wednesday. I know Tuesdays have been very good to us, and especially if you listen to the podcast one shows, if you listen to Jim Ross and all them, they start coming out on Tuesday evening, and then basically all week long it's podcast one shows. So people have told us that they like it on Tuesday because it gets in before the rush. They can listen to us, and then all the big rush of podcasts go on. One of the most humbling things ever is we got a review on our iTunes channel. We got someone who sent in a review saying they skip on the podcast one shows now and just listen to us. And I think that's one of those rare times where I'm like, oh my God, people actually prefer us over people. Like, I understand people listen to us, but when you guys out there start saying things like you prefer us to people, that's when I start to be like, oh my God, what have we done?
I got to start upping my game and be more professional then. I'm just a jerk with an opinion.
I got to start letting Jeff talk. And that's my worst nightmare is no. I got to start letting Jeff talk, but we got a review like that. So I really want to not only thank you for that review out there. Tuesdays have been really good to us, but in order to have the content for the show, in order to talk about everything people want to hear about, I think Wednesday might be the move. That way we can talk Raw and SmackDown and not be pressured to feel like we missed something.
And for anybody who goes, well, why can't you do it live after SmackDown? I will be working another territory at that time.
You're guesting on other podcasts on a Tuesday night. And then you're tied down to doing it a specific time. It's late in the night. I honestly don't like doing our show. I like doing the reaction shows. Like if I'm going to go on YouTube and we're just talking that show, that's fine. But we don't do full show reviews on this show. That's not what we are. We talk about the big topics of each show. We talk about the big topics going on in WWE, the stuff that's notable. I don't care what Golden Truth segment is going on backstage on Raw, right? So for a reaction show, you can do it right after. I don't like doing our show right after the shows. I know we do them on pay-per-views because pay-per-views are a little bit more, those aren't a Raw or SmackDown TV show. You're getting to storyline topics. You're getting to things that are actually meaning something as you go forward in WWE TV. So pay-per-view shows afterwards are great. I don't like doing our show right after a Monday Night Raw or right after a SmackDown because I like to think about what we watched and see how it plays into the larger scale of things. So I think Wednesday might be the move, but we're definitely going to listen to feedback. Email me, rob@voicesofwrestling.com. Hit Jeff up on Twitter @crapgame13. Hit me up on Twitter @shakethemropes. You can DM us. The DMs are open on the Shake Them Ropes Twitter feed. Send us your comments. Do you want to keep us on Tuesday? Do you want us to move to Wednesday to talk about all the different topics? What do you guys out there feel? Because I want to produce the show. And we do the show. At first, we did it for us. We did it just to see if, you know, we can do this thing. But we wouldn't still be doing the show if people out there weren't listening to it and weren't giving us feedback and weren't enjoying the show. We just wouldn't be. There would be no point in doing it. So I want everyone's feedback out there. Send us feedback. Whether you donate, whether you write a review on iTunes, whether you just want to send us a comment on our social media, let us know when you want to hear this show more. Tuesdays before SmackDown or Wednesdays when we have a chance to talk about everything. That's what I'm asking from the audience.
Okay.
Triple H.
Let's move on.
Triple H and Mick Foley. Match number 26 in our top 100 countdown. We are done with three quarters of this countdown. It's getting real, if you will, Jeff. But Cactus Jack, Mick Foley up against Triple H, the Royal Rumble in the year 2000, match number 26 in our top 100 countdown. These are the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network before you die. What I think is going to be cool after we get done with all of these 100 matches, Jeff, is to go back over the last 2.5 years since the network was out and since this list was out and see if we have like amendments, see if we have new matches that we should actually include in the top 100. But before we get to all that, this was the match I was telling you last week I was a huge fan of. I still am. Mm-hmm. I go back and watch this match every so often. I had just watched this match 2 weeks ago because, as you know, as I've said on this show, I am a mark for debuts. I'm a big mark for debuts, and this show features the debut of Taz in the WWF as he faced Kurt Angle and won. One of the highlights of the Taz career, honestly, in the ring. This is a big pay-per-view. This also features The Rock and Big Show simultaneously winning the Royal Rumble this year. But Triple H and Cactus Jack, I was way fond of this one. As you have now seen this match, and did you watch this match live when the Royal Rumble first happened in 2000?
Yes, I was hyped for the Taz debut.
Oh, Taz debut was so cool. It was so awesome. It was so well done. So awesome. I did notice that small thing, maybe only I noticed. Howard Finkel was not on his cue in announcing Taz for his debut. He started a little bit early, and then his sound is cut off. They edited that out finally of the network version. It's on the DVD. I believe it was still on the network version for a while, but they have since edited it out. Taz's debut was absolutely cool. The Hardy Boys match was, crazy.
D'Lo Brown was number one in the Rumble. All was good.
The dancing segment. But Triple H and and Cactus Jack, they had the thumbtacks. This was an all-out thing. This is where I think a lot of people really gained even more respect for Triple H for doing this style of match. Because this is around the time, 2000 was still around the time. Now, this was after his injury, was it not? Or was it before his injury? This is before the injury.
This is his injury.
This isn't the big quad injury. But he
gets a hole in his leg after getting hit on the pallet. Yeah. Yes.
This is actually before the quad injury that sets him out for almost an entire year. This is at the peak of when Triple H was being considered the best wrestler in the company.
Yeah. I had to do some soul searching on this match.
Okay. Soul searching.
Not because I didn't like it, but let me explain. And I think I've explained this before. Triple H is really the first wrestler that from his debut in WCW as Terra Ryzen to his ascent into the WWE, I knew all the backstage machinations about. And he was an internet darling when he was in WCW, to be honest with you. He had that kind of shine to him amongst certain facets of the internet community. And there's a problem with me with the history between, to me, Triple H's greatest rival, whether he likes it or not, is Mick Foley.
Oh, sure.
Which I don't think he likes in terms of that being his historical thing, because it's not an A-plus feud. It is a B-plus feud, so to speak, in terms of this. Don't get me wrong. I love Mick Foley. It's not Rock and Austin. It's not held at high esteem. I think he's always resented Mick in some way in terms of always being linked with him in terms of his greatness.
Sure.
Because that's come out. That's come out more than once in terms of what we've heard about. Well, I ascended to much higher heights than Mick Foley ever did. And he really, kind of an almost dismissal of Foley's effect on how great he made Triple H. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point because Steve Austin does have The Rock and you have John Cena. Who would John Cena's be? Would it be Randy Orton?
Maybe. I don't even think John Cena has one unless it's Batista. Possibly.
Well, I wonder if Triple H I think Triple H and Mankind are linked there. Absolutely.
Here's the problem with putting John Cena in this mix. They never built up a guy that might rival John Cena. They tried with Orton, but Orton was gone too often to do so, I think.
Yeah,
and
they just
blew with timing. Orton too often.
I wonder if
Seth Rollins will be it for Roman Reigns, I do believe.
Probably. Yeah, just based on everyone's everyone's age and how long they're going to be around together sharing the screen. I wonder if Triple H goes to bed at night sometimes trying to convince himself that Randy Orton was his primetime feud. And I don't even know if that's any better. It's probably not.
I think he convinces himself that it's either The Rock or The Undertaker.
Yeah, maybe Undertaker. I wonder if he tried to cement that with the WrestleMania match, the end of an era. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to wrestle The Undertaker. That's going to be my legacy, if you will. As far as a rivalry goes, anyway.
And within that sphere, it's very interesting that this match, especially the commentary of the second half of the match, is about Triple H, who is the heel at this time.
Uh-huh. Being so resilient.
Overcoming and being resilient against this crazy man, Mick Foley / Cactus Jack. Now, I read some of the, at the time, critiques of the match, and Wade Keller said something very interesting in the issue of the Torch that covers this Royal Rumble. He's of the opinion that the crowd did not react well, or did not react as Foley may have thought, to Cactus Jack. And this is not the Cactus Jack of ECW or WCW, and that might have been part of the reason. I found that interesting as I watched this back, because I sort of agree that WWE, you know, we in the bubble criticize them for the family aspects of certain things and the just play the hits part and, you know, oh, great, you know, New Day's going to come out and say booty-os instead of kicking ass. But that may be what WWE fans want when they're conditioned to it. In terms of, especially when it comes to Foley, they want started rather than something necessarily edgy. Now, we loved it. I loved the reveal when it said, you know, Cactus Jack, but the crowd didn't pop as hard, according to Keller, when the reveal came, and he didn't pop as hard during this match. Now, as the match went on, I loved this match. Don't get me wrong. I loved, this may be one of Foley's best performances in terms of overall match quality, in terms of hardcore match and telling a story here. But yeah, the commentary threw me out of it a bit by telling the scrappy underdog Triple H story when he's a heel. And my biases came forward in it, but as a match in the vacuum, as you like to do it in the bubble without watching, say, video packages and whatnot beforehand or any promos or any history, it's a great match and it should be watched.
Absolutely. No, I definitely watch it every so often. I get that Royal Rumble 2000 show. Big fan of it. I still have the DVD of that show. Like, I've had the DVD, I think, for 16 years.
Huh.
I don't need it anymore.
I would love them to not go back and edit things.
I know. It's such a small thing, too. It's such a small thing.
The mistakes give it personality in some way. No, I mean, it's the same way I feel about original music, and I understand they can't do that. But in terms of, you know, you'll see them edit out certain moves out of matches now because in hindsight, it may seem offensive. I just don't do that.
It wasn't a big deal when they were making the DVD to remove Howard Finkel's miscued intro of Taz. So why should it be a big deal now? Put up some more thunders. Put up some WCW thunders instead of editing out Howard Finkel.
Rob, I think I talked a bit too long there. I haven't heard any thoughts you had on the match.
I love the match.